Hello, and welcome to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. This is where we look at various nutrition and fitness-related topics through the lens of application. We want to give you practical takeaways so that you can create your healthiest, best self backed by knowledge. Now, onto the episode with your host, Coach Lisa.
Hello, and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with personal trainer and nutrition coach, Megan Dahlman. She's the owner of the company Vegeo Fit. I had to double think here how to pronounce that name. It's a beautiful name. We just spoke about why that is Vegeo Fit, and I'll get her to explain that in a second. But we're going to be talking about back and hip pain, her three-path formula for pain relief and living a healthy life, and just in general, debunking some myths that are very predominant in the nutrition and fitness space. So welcome to the show, Megan.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me. I'm just so honored to be here with you today.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure. And yeah, why don't we start where I just stumbled a little bit with the name of your company, because I think it's such a cool name. So please explain where that comes from.
Yes. So Vegeo is actually a Latin term that means vigorous, vitality, full of power, but there's also and strength. But another piece of the term that really hooked me was effective. Whenever I'm coaching women, especially, like the end goal is always for me to help them be more effective at whatever it is that they are passionate about doing in life, or whatever they're called to do in life, whether it's taking care of other people in their world or helping and serving in some way, but also just feeling confident in their own body. And so that's really the mission and philosophy around like the training that we all do is helping you be a really have an effective body so that it doesn't get in the way of things that you are passionate about doing. And I know that we're going to talk a lot about back and hip pain. And I think that's one of the big things that really stands in the way and hinders people from experiencing life to the fullest and being fully effective the way they want to be.
I love that. That is so aligned with my way of thinking also, because I truly think that nutrition and your physical health, it shouldn't be something that gives you grief and pain and anxiety. It should be something that helps you live your truly your best life, your healthiest life, your happiest life. And one of the sort of taglines that I found when I was researching you and your company a little bit was that you said you help women eliminate pain and jumpstart simple health and fitness in along their journey or habits. And I love that you underlined the word simple so much, because often we like to overcomplicate things. We think, oh, we need this and that supplement. We need, oh, it's my hormones. It's this and that. And just really simplifying things can go such a long way. I truly love it. Why is that something that really stood out to you, or is something that you want to preach?
Yeah. What's interesting, I think, in the world that we live today is that the people who are very healthy are getting even healthier. You know, like there's biohacking happening right now. There's a lot of like nuance and very like dialed in methods. And unfortunately, the people that are unhealthy are getting unhealthier and like dramatically unhealthier. And there's this gap that's widening between the healthiest people and the unhealthiest people. It's getting further and further apart. And part of me wonders if so much of that is because for the average individual that's not passionate about health and fitness, that it doesn't come naturally to them. They don't have the knowledge or the tools yet. If they look at what is quote unquote healthy and they see it as being this really complicated and overwhelming task, they're not going to do it. It's too difficult to do. They don't have the motivation to do it. There's no way to develop any consistency with it. And so unfortunately, they just get unhealthier and unhealthier and unhealthier. And so if we can stand in that gap and simplify healthy tactics and make it so that taking care of your body is really, really simple. It doesn't have to be this very complicated thing. You do not need to be obsessed about it, but you do need to just do these simple habits that makes sure that your body is, that you can experience your body the way you want to for many years to come. So what are those really simple things that we can do? And that's what I love to teach people. It's like, we don't need to move mountains here. We might need to just like move a small stone, and that could be a game changer for your health.
Absolutely. I want to highlight that part really in particular. And you also touched on one word, which I just love and is so important. And you said consistency, because you said they can't be consistent with a lot of these other things. Sometimes we think optimal. We think of, oh, okay, well, would it be optimal that I trained 5 times per week if I meal prepped this and that took me an hour and a half and blah, blah. And then you're able to do that for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks.
Maybe,
Then you quote unquote fall off the wagon, and then you get discouraged, and then perhaps you're gaining weight back, more weight. And it's just such a horrible cycle to be in. And of course, being caught in that, all feeling gross about yourself, feeling disappointed about yourself, and all these things. So I love that you're saying, hey, let's just focus on simple things and build on that. Because as we know, in terms of habit research, the consistency really is the most important part. So often there's things like the 2-minute method or so, where we think, you know, any new habit should only take 2 minutes. But yeah, you also mentioned moving small stones, and pun intended here, in terms of moving. For a lot of people, it might even just be walking more, standing more, as opposed to constantly being sitting. And I believe, at least from my personal experience, sitting too much was one of the things that gave me lower back pain or sciatica in that instance. Is that what do you also see amongst your clients, or from experience, that sitting is one of the main culprits for lower back pain or hip pain?
100%. Sitting is probably the biggest culprit for a lot of issues in our world right now. And we just we're living in a culture that's far more convenient. We don't need to move to go get things. We can just sit and be entertained, sit and just accomplish what we might need to get done for the day, our responsibilities. And so sitting can really destroy joints and destroy muscle tone and strength, and just the overall posture of your body. And unfortunately, there are millions of people right now. I think the stats are about 540 million adults at the moment are suffering from some form of back pain. And 40% of adults at some point in their life will experience sciatica pain. And that is surprising and sad to me. And unfortunately, a lot of these people might not be aware that the majority of this type of pain is completely preventable. And there are some very simple solutions to not have to live with this. Back pain is the number one reason why people make appointments with their doctor. It's the number one reason why we have missed days at work. Not illnesses, not cardiovascular diseases. Like those are dangerous things too. But often the back pain is kind of the beginning of the end in some ways. It's the thing that begin that the starting point where a lack of physical activity starts to set in. You move less, you stop sleeping as much, your stress levels climb. Now you're dealing with things, you know, you lose motivation to take care of your body, because it's like, what's the point? My back hurts anyway. It's not going to go anywhere. I'm going to need surgery. There's nothing I can do about this. So why try? And then we have other kind of collateral damage that happens from things like the cardiovascular diseases that are actually killing people. And so it's like, if we can back up and say, let's get this at the starting line and say, maybe this back pain is going to be a bigger deal in your life than you ever thought it might. and let's address this right now, rather than trying to push it, sweep it under the rug, push through the pain. Let's make sure that you're not experiencing this anymore.
I feel like that's such a common theme for myself included. Like oftentimes we think, oh, it's going to go away on its own. It'll sort itself out. Or I don't have time to deal with that right now, to make an appointment with a physio, or to increase my activity. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse until you are forced to make time for it. I think that's really, really unfortunate. But yeah, especially with the back, because obviously it is in the core of our being. So sometimes you think, oh, I can train around this injury, or like, let's just say you have a niggly wrist. That's something you can sort of deal with.
Exactly.
You might even be able to go to the gym, do some leg extensions, whatever. But back, it affects your posture. It affects, as you mentioned, how you like the way you sleep. It probably makes you want to move even less. And then we have muscle atrophy coming in. I was actually just listening to a different podcast before we started recording, and that was about muscle protein synthesis in general. And I should have paid more attention, but they were talking about if so they had a study where they put one leg in a cast and the other one was able to at least walk and do some leg press exercise. And over the course of the time, like I think it was just a 1 or 2 week study, but that inactive leg had a loss of like 1.5 kilos over that duration in comparison to the other leg. So, and that's just a week and a half. That's not to say people can never take a deload week or should never take a rest week. That's not what I'm saying. But generally speaking, let's think long term. Most people here, they, or some people listening to this, might go months without proper exercise, with, or might consistently only be doing 2,000 steps a day. And so that is something we should most definitely address.
That's really eye-opening. And what's interesting about that study too, it's like on the same body, you know, you had the other leg that all it was doing was just, you know, it was probably not doing like a leg day at the gym. It probably wasn't doing heavy lifting. It was just existing. It was just being used in normal activity. And the other leg was not at all. And what a contrast of, it doesn't take as much as you think to maintain muscle mass. We can obviously do more to build up your muscle mass, and that should all be our goal, but don't let that stand in the way of just doing something. Just asking yourself, what can I do to improve my muscle mass, especially in the core region? Like you said, that's the thing with back pain. You can't work around it. Like if your wrist hurts, like you said, you could do other things to be active, but when your back hurts, if your hips hurt, it's going to impact the way everything else hurts. So, or how everything else functions. So you can't keep pushing this under the rug and saying, I'm just going to deal with this later. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go away. It really won't. It'll just keep cropping up. And one day you'll realize like, whoa, I have lost so much of my muscle mass. And now I feel like I'm really climbing out of a deep hole. And even then, we still can do a lot. It's never too late. But if we can start now with doing some wise things for your body, let's do it. Absolutely.
100%. And yeah, I would love to talk more about how to tackle like sciatica or back pain and all these things. But before we do, I'll just give you a little bit of a personal background. So I used to do CrossFit a while ago, heavy lifting, just two heavy weights. To be honest, I was on the other end of the spectrum of training too hard. And then unfortunately that paired with a lot of sitting throughout the day on a very shitty position, very lopsided. So lo and behold, one day my lower back pain, or I just, something flared up. I couldn't tie my shoes anymore because just on the right side, it was shooting down exactly from that sciatic nerve. And unfortunately, it took me about 2 years of nurturing that, really backing off of my training, really changing to a standing desk and very, very light loads. I was still doing lower body exercise, but very light loads. And after those two years, I could very visibly see that I had lost a lot of glute muscle, unfortunately. But I was just thankful to be out of the pain. And now that I know how to manage it, and I have been able to increase my weights again to go back into regular strength training, I know which exercises tend to aggravate it, which ones to stay away. So for instance, I don't do a lot of, if any, regular barbell back squats. I can do hex squats, or I can do leg press machine, but it's just something about that where I tend to go into too much of a lower back curvature. So that's just my story with sciatica. And I know that it's so common. It can also sometimes, just from an anatomy perspective, for instance, my mom is kind of prone towards that also. But for me, it has been about that journey of like navigating around that, but also I know it's something I will need to keep up lifelong in the sense of managing and listening to that pain. But yeah, maybe you can tell us how that pain even comes up and what would be, generally speaking, some simple or applicable methods for people to deal with it.
Yeah, the sciatic nerve, it's a massive nerve. It's actually the diameter of your pinky finger. Like if you think about how big that is, that's huge. And it originates at your lumbar spine. So it has a few like fingers that come out of your lumbar spine. So kind of out of your vertebrae there in a couple different spots. And then it winds its way kind of through your hip socket, through your glutes, kind of through right behind the SI joint of your pelvis and down through your piriformis muscle. And then it kind of goes all the way. It feeds the muscles of your calf and even into your foot. So sometimes people who experience sciatica issues, if they've got pinching way up top, they might feel burning sensation into their calf or their foot, like when it starts to get really bad. So I have found that there tends to be two problem spots for sciatica in particular. The issue could be stemming from the spine itself. So we might actually be getting some disc herniation or pressure on the nerve where it's coming out of your spine. So that's a pretty common area. So often when it's that, the solution is very much like, let's get some better alignment at the spine and then stabilize that spine with good core strength. So making sure that those spinal segments aren't shifting and sliding around, which could potentially lead to more disc herniation or bulging that would put pressure on this, on the nerve itself. And then kind of looking around the whole region, like what else could be pulling on your spine that could be in turn putting pressure on the nerve. And very often, especially those of us who sit or stand with our legs kind of cocked out to one side or lift too heavy, sometimes having really tight hips can pull that lumbar spine out of alignment. So where the nerve comes out of the lumbar spine, that's kind of one location where the problem could be stemming. Another problem is in the hip socket. So it might not be up in the spine as the beginning. It could be like down in the hip. So it could be kind of in the glute area. And a lot of this is from a lot of tension in those deep glute muscles, tension in your piriformis muscle. You might feel this as like a piriformis syndrome, like kind of back, like they kind of trade off. Like one day the sciatic nerve is aggravated, the next day your piriformis muscle is aggravated, and they kind of go back and forth. And a lot of that is from weak glutes. And so from glutes that aren't doing their job very well, they're not developed enough, they're not dominant enough. And so all of those really small, deep inner hip muscles are having to overwork. There's a lot of extra tension deep up inside, and it's really compressing that nerve too. So it could be coming from a lot of different areas, but most of the time, like 99 times out of 100, the solution can be found from achieving better alignment through your pelvis, through your hip socket, through your spine. So the posture piece, so improving your posture, making sure that things are sitting level, that you're not leaning to one side or your hips are tipped out to the side, that you don't have that anterior pelvic tilt or that posterior pelvic tilt where you're always tucked under. So pelvis sitting level, that you also have adequate strength. So this is the S piece. I like to think of the PSF framework. So posture is number one, S is number two, so strength. So do we have adequate glute strength? Do we have adequate deep core strength, those deep abdominal muscles, even your diaphragm, even your pelvic floor? Are those things doing their job properly? And then do we have adequate mobility or flexibility in the right places? Your lumbar spine, it's not designed to be really mobile. So actually, if you try to stretch out your low back a lot, it could potentially make it worse. If you put all your attention in mobilizing your hips, that could probably give you the relief that you're looking for. So making sure that we're getting the flexibility in the right places. And so that tends to really help if that sciatic nerve is getting aggravated in the hip socket or it's up in the lumbar spine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And thank you for explaining that so nicely. So you already mentioned a few things that we need to be doing, either strengthening our glutes, loosening up our hips, or just in general, mobilizing, I guess, improving our posture as we're sitting. Now, what is your take in general on things like standing desks? You mentioned even with that, often we shift weirdly to one side.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, how do you, if someone comes to you and they say, I'm out of the acute phase of sciatica, I would just want to make sure I'm preventing it in the future. What is your approach?
I think the important thing is that whatever position you find yourself in, that you're looking to be as level as possible. So if you are sitting, make sure that you're sitting level. Make sure that your feet are planted level and that you're not like tipped to one side, leaning to one side. Make sure that you have a good chair that's making sure that your hips are sitting in a level position, that your lumbar spine is supported nicely so that you're not slumped or too arched. And get to know which direction your lumbar spine likes to go. Do you tend to have that extra anterior pelvic tilt where you arch at your low back really a lot? That's really common, especially for us sitters. Or do you tend to slump and over flatten your low back? So start to be familiar with what is your natural tendency so that you can start to counteract that. And then if you're standing is phenomenal because it does keep you moving. You're going to be moving a little bit more than if you're someone who's sitting, but you can even stand improperly. You can stand in an anterior tilt. Years ago, when I first started my career, I worked in a PT office. So I worked with physios, and I would get to the end of the day. I'm like, oh, my back is like killing me at the end of the day. And I didn't realize that I was very anteriorly tilted with my pelvis. So my low back muscles were overworking. There was pressure on those low back segments. My hip flexors were crazy tight. My groin muscles were crazy tight. My abdom like low abdominals were not functioning properly. And so like by the end of the day, everything was just achy and fatigued, and I was on my feet all day long. So no matter what position you find yourself in, like just think level. Like think level as much as possible. Start like good posture really starts at the pelvis, and then it works up into the rib cage. So making sure that your rib cage stays stacked, level right over your pelvis. And quite frequently, when we think, oh, I need good posture, we think squeezing our shoulders back, right? Like that's like the first thing that comes to my mind. Like you need to just like sit up straight and squeeze your shoulders back. But usually what happens when we jam our shoulders back, that is that it actually flares up and open our rib cage and makes our low back arch really bad. And so it actually pushes us out of good alignment, out of good posture. So getting a better understanding of what good posture actually is can be really helpful. So whether you're sitting or standing or even sleeping, wherever you might be, knowing what good alignment looks like in those positions.
Yeah, I have found that thinking of it from like building from the ground up is so much more
Yes.
helpful than, like you said, like pulling your shoulder blades back or looking
Right.
from the top down, because it really does start like how our feet position, how, like, as you mentioned, is one foot sort of to the outside? Is our hip twisted? Then do we have tension too much or not enough in our core, in our back? And everyone listening, Megan has a wonderful 5-day core guide. I think it's a free, right, that you offer where people can learn how to really build from that core within as well.
Yes. 5 days, and I guide you through, and it follows that kind of what we were mentioning earlier, like the habit stacking idea of not throwing you into the deep end, but wading into the shallow end of like, let me just give you a few movements to try. We're going to master those movements before we build on. And most people get to like the fifth day because we gradually build over 5 days. It's a pretty short course. It's like 10 minutes a day. And people will get to the fifth day and they'll be like, I am now feeling my core in ways I haven't felt in years. And that was not that hard to do. And it's such an amazing revelation of if you just know positioning and have the right cues and know when to exhale and when to inhale and when to engage and then push and then release, like it's a world of difference. There's a big difference between just going through the motions of an exercise and actually like doing the exercise, like doing, like following the cues of the movement, like a bird dog done properly is significantly different than a bird dog just done. And so someone needs to sometimes walk you through. This is why having a coach, having a trainer like Lisa or like myself, like this is where that's so valuable, is that movements can be super effective or completely ineffective, depending on how you do it. I've had a lot of people will say, like, I went and saw a physio for 3 months and it didn't do anything for me. Or I went and saw a PT and I've done those exercises before and they never worked. It's like, but did you actually, like, did you really have the right cues to go through it and do it properly so it actually is making a difference? Because maybe the problem might not be the exercise itself. We know there's plenty of research that there are very targeted exercises that we can do that really do work. It's more about how you do them and if you're doing them properly.
Intentionality is so big. And I'm saying this like really coming from that same place. I mean, not to bash on CrossFit, it's great for getting women to lift weights in general. I probably would have never found strength sports if it wouldn't have been for CrossFit. But I was in that mind frame of like, hey, I can deadlift, I don't know, 240 pounds or whatever. But then next to me were like, I myself also like struggling to do it, to hold a dead bug for a head or whatever, right? Like talking about not lifting with the right muscles and just yanking stuff from one place to another, only thinking about speed or I need to do this particular weight without initially even learning or going through the proper steps, as you mentioned, of how do I activate what? And particularly in that space, unfortunately, so many times we lift really heavy, for instance, a very heavy squat also. And then 2 minutes later, that same person tells me, I don't know how to activate my glutes. I'm like, how, and that was part of like why my sciatica came up also, because I did not know how to activate the glutes in particular. Did I know how to squat, I don't know, 160 pounds? Yeah, sure. But I did not know that was mainly done through my legs, my back, whatever. So yeah, that was really, really shocking. And in my early days as a online trainer also, I definitely, and I think that's really one of the struggles with online training. Sometimes I wish all my clients could come in person, but even though you try to make your best assessment and you try to gauge how long has this person been active for, how well do they know their body? And then you end up giving them exercises that are much too hard. You know, things, it might even just be something like a jackknife or whatever, hollow body. And then that person says, I you know, feel my lower back in this, now I have lower back pain. And you're like, oh damn.
Oh no.
Way too hot. And it's so hard to gauge. And I feel like this is something where unfortunately the online component is not necessarily always helpful. So I do like that you said, like, hey, go to a physio if you have any pain. But even if you're, particularly if you're just starting out, if you feel like I don't know how to activate this and that body part, it might pay off to pay for personal trainer, in-person personal trainer for a couple of months. And then that person might say, hey, let's transition into hybrid coaching. And then you can transition into coaching or training on your own. But yeah, it's a tough.
Getting those eyes on you, having someone put their hands on you is so helpful, or someone who's really, really good at applying cues, or at least knowing which movements are difficult to do incorrectly. Yes. You know, like there are certain regressions of movements where it's like, you might not do this perfectly, but I know it's not going to hurt you. And the more you do this, the more body awareness and control you're going to develop over time. And one thing that I'm really passionate about is right now the message out there is like, women need to be lifting weights. We need to be lifting heavy weights. And I am all for that. I am a huge proponent of that. But unfortunately, the message gets to women who are cardio queens and have never touched a weight before in their life. They don't know how to do a strength training movement, period. they've never been taught how to do a squat or a shoulder press or a push-up, or and so they're going from having zero body awareness in those basic strength-based movements and putting really heavy weights in their hands. It's like, let's, you know, this again is that standing in the gap of how do we guide someone towards lifting heavy weights and doing those really good high quality strength training movements that will get you the results eventually that you really want. But how do we transition? And one thing that I'm adamant about is like, if you're new to strength training, first 3 months, we're not going to use any equipment. We are going to use your body weight only. You are going to learn how to push, pull, brace, hold, like control your body. Because the last thing I want is to put a piece of equipment in your hand and then all of your like mental energy is going into how do I hold this thing? Am I holding it right? Where do I position it? And you're not thinking about where are my feet planted? Where's the pressure through my feet? Am I gripping with my toes? Is my arch collapsing? Is my knees going this direction? Am I engaging my glutes? Like you can't think about all of those things all at once. And so let this just be an encouragement for anyone listening who's like, whoa, I jumped way too hard and too fast into just trying to heavy lift or go hard and heavy, like what you said, Lisa, like just for the sake of doing the thing everybody told me I was supposed to do, maybe I need to back up and go back to the foundation and learn good functional based like body control and body mechanics and then build back up from there, knowing that I'm like building a tower here of and laying really good foundation. Cause if I try to build this giant tower without a good foundation, at some point something is going to break. It just will. And you're going to experience what you experience, Lisa. You know, you end up with sciatica. You could get a bulging disc. Like you do not want to have a disc that herniates. That could potentially mean back surgery for you. If you have a disc that actually does herniate, that can reabsorb sometimes, but not always. And so you don't want to find yourself in a position and be like, oh man, I should have spent more time learning how to do good deep core control work, building up gradually, learning mechanics. Like those things matter so much for the long-term game.
So many good things. And really a few things came up for me. So firstly, when you said I love that you only use body weight in the beginning, because truly I think nowadays in all areas of our life, we're not used to feeling within like how is this feeling right now? How am I feeling? Yeah. How's my body feeling? And particularly when we're starting off with strength training or training in general, I think it's really difficult for people to differentiate, is this good pain, quote unquote, or bad pain? Because you get sore. Initially, you will get sore. But is this supposed to hurt like that? Is that supposed to feel like that? Oftentimes, we think yes, because, you know, we're so used to numbing our pain anyway. As we mentioned, you're sitting in a certain spot, it kind of hurts, or you're just used to pushing through. This is hurting good. And so, yeah, if you can say that. And then you just after a while, you're like, oh, I've done this wrong the whole entire time. So I think just dialing it back to body weight can be really, really helpful with that. And the other thing that I have learned over the course of the time with that injury also is, I think that goes in line with at the moment there being the trend of like, hey, everyone needs to be lifting really heavy. More free weights. And I was kind of thinking of like demonizing machines. I thought, oh, you know, that's inferior to machine work. And I have learned that for many people in many situations, machines can be so much more helpful, that they have allowed me to truly isolate my glutes more and to be able to feel, oh, this is my glute. Oh, okay. There's nothing is happening. Right. I clearly have no idea how to activate this. And I would have not been able to do that if I would have just continued to squat or even hip thrust. And so I think because your body is so smart, it wants to compensate with other muscles. So I just truly think that there is a lot of value in body weight exercises and certain machine exercises in particular scenarios.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the end of the day, it's like, what's the point here? Are we just trying to like build muscle for the sake of building muscle? Or are we trying to build muscle so that you're moving and functioning better in life and that you have greater health. And so if that comes at the expense of damaging something on your body, that's not greater health. Like, that's not you in a healthier state. Same with, you know, I know that in the nutrition space, you're passionate about this too, is like restricting for the sake of restricting. It doesn't make you a healthier person. Like, that's not, that might give you like the short-term outcome of like quick weight loss, but is that actually moving you in the direction of being a healthier person in the long run? So training is that way too. And understanding like, what can I do? What will my workout look like today that is bringing me one step closer to me at my healthiest? And maybe what that looks like is not doing a really hard, high, heavy intensity workout session. Maybe it's working on mobility. Maybe it's peeling this back and really focusing on more prehab style exercises, more balance work, more coordination work, things that I think are like quote unquote boring, or they don't like burn the calories or burn the, like make me sweat. Like, maybe that's actually the thing that I need today. And maybe that's the thing that allows me to show up tomorrow with more motivation. And I can put out a little bit more effort tomorrow because I didn't go really hard today. So realizing that what moves you in the direction of being your healthiest self might not be what you thought it would be.
Yeah, the funny thing is that it often sounds so illogical in our head, like with nutrition, for instance, also. But like with nutrition, we think less food is always better. With training, right, we think more training is always better. And for some reason, we always have or initially have that short-term mindset, particularly with training. If you talk about it, it sounds so stupid because, of course, we want to be as healthy and as active and strong for as long as possible. So what are we in the rush for? And I'm talking to myself here too.
Yeah.
Because like truly sometimes you think like one training session or even a week or month of training you need to put it all in there, when in fact the goal should be like, what do I want to look and feel like in 20 years and 30, 40 years, whatever it is. So I love how you are really on a mission to debunk that myth of you need to go all in right now. And of course, things like particular circuit classes or so, or CrossFit, where you're always encouraged to leave it all on the floor. And right, if you're not completely sweating and destroyed after your workout, it wasn't a good workout. And like sort of myths. It needs to be defeated for sure.
For sure. And that's like, you know, you're not meant to set PRs every time you show up. That's never going to be your best PR anyway. If you're always coming into it fatigued and damaged and not like fresh, that's not your true PR. So you'll never figure out how strong and fit you actually are if you're not coming into it with a good mindset of, Let me do this in a periodized way. You know, like periodization is, and, you know, progressive overload, these are some of the most important fundamentals of good quality training. If your training program does not include like good periodized workouts, where from one day to the next, you have a harder day followed by a lighter day to buffer and to help recover. And then 1 week is harder than the last week, and you gradually grow, and over the course of the year you have cycles, and then it's this like progressive overload. If your routine doesn't look like that, if every time you show up to work out it's like, this routine has to just kick my butt as hard as it possibly can, then every time you show up it's going to get less and less and less and less. Your body's just going to start to get broken, more and more and more broken. And so the challenge is like, wherever you're at, just figure out, what would it look like for me to train smarter, to be smarter about this? Because yes, I want to still be able to go to the gym and lift weights when I'm 75 years old. And if me killing my body right now is, you know, I'm 40. If I kill my body right now as a 40, I'm not going to be able to be lifting weights at 75. So it's just a bigger picture idea of what training should and can look like.
I think the funny thing is that if we think of high performance sports, it totally makes sense. Like, everyone will tell you, course, there's a season in swimming, in basketball, in track, whatever. Of course,
Right.
they do. They have an off season. Of course, they have a preseason conditioning, whatever, an in season, and even within the in season, they need to taper off before stuff. It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
But if you tell people, oh, you work out a little bit less next week, sometimes we get into this panic. Am I going to lose all my muscle? Am I going to make steps
Exactly.
backwards and so on? So it's so funny how like looking from an outside perspective at something else is so much easier than if we're trying to apply it to ourselves. But yeah, you also mentioned earlier three letters. I think it was SPF.
Yes.
Separately from that, I read about your three-part formula. Is that connected? Is that part of it?
Absolutely. Yes, that framework. So the PSF framework is what really can lead to any joint on your body operating and feeling at its best, and really any section on your body. If you're experiencing dysfunction or something that's not right, I would ask you, like, let's examine, does it have good alignment? So is the posture, is correct posture happening in that joint? How is that joint supposed to sit inside of itself? Like, what is it supposed to look like? Are we out of whack? And so often that is the case. Like, things are misaligned, and that might be a problem, might not be a problem. We all have asymmetrical bodies. Like, some things are just not always aligned. So that could be a problem. The second thing is, does that joint or does that section on your body have adequate strength? Like, the amount of muscular strength and tension. And I know tension is sometimes used in a negative term, but as your muscles are strong, they should be able to carry a certain amount of tone as you go about the day. So rather than just being like relaxed and limp, you do want a certain amount of tone around your joints to help stabilize them so that they're not wobbly. And that's what creates a lot of wear and tear on a joint and can potentially lead to issues. And then finally, is that joint or is that section on your body, does it have adequate mobility? Does it move in the range of motion that it's designed to move in? A lot of people have very tight hips or very tight ankles. Tight ankles is one of the most common problems in most adults. This is where a lot of plantar fasciitis comes from, and Achilles tears, and knee problems, and hip problems. Like, a lot of it stems from having really tight hips. And so, just looking at each section on your body and being like, what is the PSF? Like, how does this rate with the posture, the strength, the flexibility? Are there ways that I can improve these in this particular area? And so, it relates to really any section on your body to achieve greater functioning and have things working optimally.
I love that. I think it's a really great framework to walk yourself through, even if you are thinking, okay, why is this pain giving me pain? And I mean, so many times we have pain somewhere and then the root is actually somewhere else. So it might actually
Right.
be worth like, yeah, having some external view on this. But nonetheless,
Exactly.
it is a great point of reference where you're just thinking, how is this position? Okay, yes, I'm actually quite lopsided and always leaning to that one side. Point number one, point number two. Oh yes, I'm super tight here and there, and I'm lacking the strength on the other end because, of course, we always have our agonists and antagonists, etc.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that that is a really, really great formula. But yeah, I want to make sure I'm respecting your time, and I think you've given us so much valuable information already. Number one, everyone, please go and follow Megan on Instagram. I believe it's your same name, Megan Dahlman on Instagram.
Yep, just Megan Dahlman over on Instagram. Yeah.
Awesome. And then definitely make sure to check out vigeofit.com for that free 5-day core guide. Also, I would really recommend, especially if it's just 10 minutes a day. I mean, what do we
Yeah,
have?
it's so easy. And you can grab it if you just go to 5daycore.com too. So I made it really easy, and I can give you that link
Perfect.
for that, Lisa. So just the number
Brilliant.
five,
Put that in.
5daycore.com. You can find it there too.
That's awesome. And then, of course, lastly, also check out Megan's podcast, the Self Care Simplified podcast. And I'm sure you're going to, or you share a lot of valuable information on there, just as well as on your Instagram also. So yeah, truly, thank you for your time. This has been a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll have you back on at some point.
Thank you so much, Lisa. This was really fun.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or share the episode on social. very much appreciated. You can also follow us on Instagram at Nutrition Coaching and Life, or head to our website, www.nutritioncoachingandlife.com, where we provide more valuable content. Have a wonderful day. Now go out and work on your best self.